We're very happy to see those gathered tonight. We feel more will be coming, but the Lord says when two or more are gathered in His presence, then I am in your midst. It just takes two or three. The Spirit of the Lord has been working on all of us, I'm sure. And He has not our agenda, He has His agenda. And we want to follow that agenda this weekend. I think the closer we draw to the Lord, the more the Spirit of the Lord becomes more precious to us. His voice becomes more real, and we can distinguish that voice from other voices. And I think it's so important for all of us, especially the young people and those, to learn to try the spirits, to learn that voice, and to set ourselves aside in almost a sacrifice of ourselves to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord in us, that still small voice. It's most of the time very faint. I've seen it just be a whisper. I mean, it is just so quiet, but it is so potent if we let it do what it wants to do. It wants us to take us to a place in God that we not only move by we don't move by our actions so much, we move by what that Spirit is telling us to do. And it will not conflict with the order God has set, but it will confirm what is being said. It will confirm what you have during the week. That's the reason it's so important to spend that time in the secret place where you can hear that voice of the Almighty as it talks to you. Tonight, we're going to worship the Lord. And I would just let us think again, and I've known this has been said many times, and when I sit there sometimes, I think of the same things. Why am I here? And that question is, for me, I'm here because I hope the Lord wants me here, first of all. I'm here because I want something from Him. I'm here because I'm hungry. I'm here because I want my spirit to be refreshed. I'm here because I want to do His will, and I want to learn how to do it better. And we can have that anointing with us, not only in this place, but we can have it all week long. That's the beauty of it. So we call upon the name of the Lord tonight to be with us. And in the book, on the second part of the end of your book, if you have your red book, on page 78, there is a song that's been just going all through me for the last couple hours. I've been sitting out in the car singing it. I've been humming it. I can't get it out of my system. And I was walking down the steps. A brother was singing it too. So I think we're going to start out on that song and let the Lord see what He wants. Well, the song is, "Let the Spirit of the Lord come down." Does anybody, y'all have sung it many times here. Y'all don't know it? I think, because that's where I learned it here. They got to sing it up here one night, and I was so moved with it, I went by home, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So, does anybody here know it? Well, let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord from heaven come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord 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 come down, come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Wasteless wonder. We must be moved by the Spirit of the God, of God in our lives. And I think if we let the Lord open up those minds and hearts and just let Him come in, He will move in us. And that first thing, we don't have a book, it says, let the Spirit of the Lord come down, the Spirit of the Lord come down, let the Spirit of the Lord from heaven come down. We're leaving out from heaven. From heaven come down, let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Let's try it again. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. 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 Let the Spirit of the Lord come down.
enabling and moving us to bring us to a place that His presence can be there. Saints of God, we have to have the presence of the Lord. I have to have it. Oh, the glory of His presence. We, His temples, give Him reverence. We want that tonight. We want it this whole weekend like we've never wanted before. I hope that's the cry of your heart. Oh. Oh, the glory of His presence. Let's sing that tonight.
Oh, the glory of Your presence. We are temples. You know, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Praise. Thank you.
You know, there is a moving in here, but we know without a fact that all over the world the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a glorious revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God is moving by His Spirit. And it's in us, and it's all over the world. He is going to have His people. And I think as we sing that tonight, we just kind of enter into that. That you are in the world, but not of the world. And as we learn this week, we'll go out and we'll go back in the world. And the Spirit is moving us, will move into others as we come in contact with. So let's sing that tonight with a new purpose in heart. That before this camp is over with, that we'll have a real purpose for what God is going to do in the world, but also in us and through us. Amen. All over the world, your Spirit is moving. All over the world, as God has said would be. All over the world, there's mighty revelation of the glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh, praise His name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Glory to God. I know in y'all's books you have number two. I hope. But this just come to me. What message are we bringing to the world? It's salvation. It's help. The Lord has anointed you and me to help those that are blind and cannot see. To preach the good tidings of great joy. And you can do that in every kind of way under the sun. To open prison doors and set the captives free. But that glorious salvation, it's all these things combined. It's whatever the world needs. You have it. I have it. And if we've got it, then we cultivate it and nourish it, and then we give it. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a glorious salvation. It's a wonderful way that God has shed His light upon my pathway. And my way keeps growing brighter. And I want to shout and sing. You and me are a creature of eternity. A child of the King. Oh, children of God, let's start acting like we're a child of the King. We're not defeated. Our King is our King. And He is being strength. He is strengthening us in the inner man. And we can bring salvation to the world. A light into a dark place. You can brighten the corner right where you are. And I can too. Praise the Lord. You feel like singing another one? Let's sing this, A Glorious Salvation. That is so wonderful. Everybody know it, I hope? Oh, good. It's a glorious salvation. It's a wonderful.
to God. You may be seated. You may be seated. I tell you, we could sing all night. I know you're tired. You've been coming in. We have a brother who's going to minister to us in a few minutes. We have a prayer request first. So I'd like for Eldon to come up, and he's going to pray for that prayer request.
This prayer request is from Leon Mallow. And he says, "First and foremost, I want to thank everyone who prayed for me and the churches that brought me and Jenny before the Lord in prayer many times. And also for the phone calls and text messages that we received from so many. It was such a blessing when you're suffering to hear from members of the family of God. I know the Lord has been answering your prayers for me. I have definitely felt his healing hand upon me. I'm feeling quite good with few side effects from the chemo treatments. Praise be to God. I have one more treatment on April the 4th, and then I am done. I would like to be prayed for that when they do another CAT scan on me in about 3 weeks after the last treatment, that the Lord has finished his work in my body, and I am totally cancer-free.
Amen.
So that no more procedures are required. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Thanks for everything, Leon Mallow." Those are not my words. Those are Leon's. Giving thanks to God for what he has done. And we all should give thanks to God for what he has done and what he is doing today.
Amen. Glory.
Praise God. Tonight, Father, we bring our brother Leon to your throne. We set him there, Lord, that you may put your hand upon him.
Yes.
That you may heal his body as he has requested, and that as we have requested.
Yes, Lord.
Where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them.
Hallelujah.
And we don't have to reach out,
We
know that you are here. We know that you are willing to complete the job. And he is willing to accept that total healing in his body.
Yes.
Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness.
Yes.
We ask your blessing upon his wife also.
Yes.
Because we sometimes neglect to do that.
Yes.
When one is suffering, we are all suffering. When one is in glory, we all should be in glory.
Yes.
Let us not forget to give thee thanks for all that happens to us. We ask your blessing upon him now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Praise
I don't know whether you want a full load tonight, or just a half a load, or just a little bit. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. I want to minister tonight from the 12th chapter of Romans. But before I do that, this scripture came to me, and you're quite familiar with it. It's found in Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Keep this thought in mind, that there is nothing hidden from the sight of God. You can hide things from me. You can hide things from your wife or your husband. You can hide things from your children. You can hide things from your teacher. You can hide things from your employer. But you can't hide anything from God. I think sometimes, and I speak of as much of myself as of you, that we forget that. As we look into the Word of God this evening, may His words be living and powerful and penetrating and piercing, and may they find an abiding place in our hearts, in the inner recesses of our hearts. Behavior changes when the Word of God becomes alive in our hearts. If there was ever a time when the Word of God needs to be illuminated to our hearts and minds, it is today. You say, well, how do you know? You didn't live 100 years ago. Well, I don't know what it was like 100 years ago. That's true. But I know what it's like today. So much of what we see and what we hear is contrary to God's Word. Let us remember that His Word is absolute, unchanging, irrevocable, and rock solid. The mind of man will never change the Word of God, nor will a majority of votes of any kind ever make a dent in it. It stands forever. For that's what the Word of God declares. It stands forever. When we take an overview of the 12th chapter of Romans, we see three things. The first thing we see about the specifics and the requirements that God has for His people is presenting ourselves as living sacrifices and allowing the Spirit of God to transform our minds. That's big stuff. If you want to stop and think about it a little bit. A second requirement is that we serve God through the operation of our gifts and ministries. Our spiritual gifts, in other words. And thirdly, that we conduct ourselves as Christians ought to. With that brief introduction, let's turn to this chapter. It says, I beseech, it starts off in verse 1 with, I beseech you, or I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The sacrifices of the Old Testament were the bodies of dead animals. But in the New Testament, of course, we have the perfect sacrifice. We have the sacrifice of the Son of God, shedding His blood for everyone in this tabernacle tonight. But it goes far beyond that. For the entire world. Hallelujah. The new sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, Christ Himself, shedding His precious blood for you and for me. God requires that we give ourselves completely and sacrificially over to Him. I used to hear the term years ago, I don't hear it so much anymore, time to quit playing church. Well, I think it's time to get serious with God. I think it's really time to get serious with God. Giving ourselves over to God is something we should be doing knowingly and willingly. It is pleasing to God when we set aside our own will and endeavor with the help of the Holy Spirit to do His will as He reveals it to us. Someone in our local service here in North Battleford a few Sundays ago made this statement, and I jotted it down. The more we pray, the more precise God's direction will be. The more we pray, is there anyone in this room that feels they pray enough? Well, you wouldn't dare put up your hand. I think praying is getting serious with God. And I think we need to do more of it. And as the day comes closer to the end of this age, and I don't know when that will be, but I believe that the people of God need to be in prayer more and more as that time draws nearer. Praise the Lord. The more we pray, the more precise God's direction will be to us, maybe sometimes to others. In Thessalonians, it's the first, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. It's one or the other. Let's think it's 1 Thessalonians 4:3. You can tell me if I'm wrong. We read this. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Your sanctification. And what does that mean? Your being set apart for God's special purpose. That's what it means. Your sanctification. It is the will of God Your sanctification is the will of God. In other words, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should show how to possess his own vessel or his or her own body in sanctification or in holiness, and honor, not in passion of lust. Did God not say, "Be ye holy as I am holy"? You know something? If that wasn't possible, why would it ever have been said? We have the capability through the Holy Spirit to become holy, sanctified, set apart for His glorious purpose. It is pretty obvious to me. You know, I'm kind of one of these guys, I build you up and then I knock you down a bit. It is pretty obvious to me that complete sanctification, complete holiness, or complete setting apart is not instantaneous. We read in Hebrews, and I'll support that with the scripture. We read in Hebrews 10:14, "For by one offering, he," that is Christ, "has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Those who are being sanctified. Brothers and sisters, we are being sanctified. We are on the road to sanctification through our obedience and through submitting to the voice and to the will of God. As we heard tonight, there are many voices. But we, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and are known of me." This is the voice that we need to pay attention to, that we need to learn to know what it is when we hear it. His voice, "My sheep hear my voice." It is through day-to-day obedience and submitting to the will of God that we put off the flesh and walk more and more in the Spirit, and thus grow into mature sanctification and holiness. If I might use a typical kind of example of mine, your children didn't go to bed one night and wake up the next morning mature, unless they were a whole lot different than mine. It was a process. It was gradually and progressively and little by little they learned what the will of mom and dad were. They heard the voice of mom and dad. They heard it time and time again, repetitively. And gradually, you saw some light at the end of the tunnel. They were beginning to get it. They were beginning to see. And how you rejoiced in that. The will of mom and dad. That's what it was. It was the will of mom and dad. God is not interested in my will. And nor is He interested in yours. He is interested in a people that will put into operation His will. Because that's all that matters, brothers and sisters. That's all that matters is the will of God for your life and for mine. Many scriptures, I've got to say this in passing, because many scriptures speak of what the will of God is for us. I didn't really have time when I was thinking about this to look all of them up, but I know there are many scriptures that speak of what the will of God is for His people. And I should have said right at the beginning that this chapter is not talking to the unbelievers or non-believers. It's talking to His people. That's who He's talking to you and to me. The will of God is throughout the scriptures. And we can't use it as an excuse, I don't think, that we don't know. Because they're there in black and white. Can I give you one little example? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Kind of a tiny little scripture tucked away there. Does that scripture say, when you are feeling good, when you don't have any aches or pains, when everything is coming up roses, then give God thanks for that? Well, certainly we should give God thanks then too. But I think He says, in all things. In all things. Give God thanks, for this is His will in Christ Jesus. And I'm sure if I had had time to search out the scriptures, I could find many places where it speaks of the will of God to His people. Is praising Him the will of God? He dwells or inhabits our praises. How often are we negligent? How often am I negligent in praising Him, in thanking Him? And how easy it is for this flesh of mine to complain. Israel was pretty good at it. That is complaining. And God heard them, their murmuring, and He was not pleased. Is that right? Do you think He's any more pleased with mine or yours? I doubt it. The will of God is of utmost importance in our walk with God. So willingness to serve the Lord sacrificially to the point where we do it just because we desire with all of our heart to do it. I believe there were times when I think of my growing up that I really wanted to please my father. There were times when I didn't. But there were other times when I really wanted to please him. I just wanted to do it just right, and Dad would say, "Well done." I remember, you've heard me speak so many times, you've heard the stories over and over again, and you just go to sleep, I think, after a while, because I have heard it all. The first time he ever left me in charge of his grocery store, little general country store, maybe I was 12, I don't know how old I was, can't remember, but I remember that. Dad trusted me. I was king for a day with something that was precious to him, because he built that right from scratch to where it was. And he said, "Son, I've got to go into the city. You are in charge." Did I want to please him? You bet I did. I didn't want to make any mistakes. I didn't want to give the wrong change back. I just wanted to do exactly what he wanted me to do. It wasn't a sacrifice at that point. It was just a desire to please him. I think God wants us to get to the place where we just desire with all that is in us to please him. It is our reasonable, our rational, and our sensible service. Now the scripture goes on to say, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Conformity to the world can take many shapes and many forms. I haven't got enough ink in this pen to list all of the ways in which we can conform to the world. There are hundreds of them, I am sure. But let's just knock it down a little. For sure, we can conform to the world in our thinking. For sure, we can conform to the world in our speaking. For sure, we can conform to the world in our behavior. And you can wrap all kinds of things around that if you want to. But broad categories, the world is right there. Big long list. We are so bombarded by the world's thinking that it can rub off without realizing it. Did you ever notice how hardly anything shocks us anymore? How low can it go? You think you've seen it all, and suddenly something comes along that's worse. Wherever we look and whatever we listen to, there is an agenda that wants us to think as the world thinks. There are many voices, hundreds of them, conflicting voices, coming from the media, the marketplace. Buy this, it'll fix you up. Got a problem? We got the remedy. Lots of voices from the marketplace. Institutions of every kind. Educational ones. Religions. Governments. This list could go on and on. However, as I said before, I think I did say it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." He knows you. Isn't that something? He knows you. And you know something else that the scripture says? He stands in the heavenly realm making intercession for you. Wow. For you. Could you have a better intercessor? I should just say in passing, I have a great deal of respect for the intercessors. Your ministry is powerful. It is just simply powerful. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I submit to you tonight, we do not have to be like the world. In John, the second chapter, in verses 15 to 17, we are warned about loving the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away. I kind of get that feeling sometimes, that this world is crumbling. Babylon is showing signs of cracks. This world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. So, God wants us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. My mind pretty well controls me. Without my mind, I cannot do that. There's something up here, I have a little bit up here, that tells this body what to do. Controlled by my mind. To transform means to change. And as it is used here, it means to change from the natural to the spiritual. The renewed mind is a changed mind. The renewed mind spoken of here is the mind of Christ. I think I have used this quote before, but I've liked it so much that I have used it several times when speaking of transformation. And I found it in the little Bible that I have at home. Not very little, it's pretty thick, because it had lots of notes in it. And I don't really like all the notes, but I like some of them. So I'm quoting from what is called the Nelson Study Bible. Because it has this to say about the word transform. In the New Testament, I'm quoting now, in the New Testament, this word is used to describe an inward renewal of our mind through which our inner spirit is changed into the likeness of Christ. Paul told the Roman believers, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. As our Christian life progresses, we should gradually notice that our thought life is being changed from Christlessness to Christ-likeness. Transformation does not happen overnight. Our regeneration is instant. We saw that with the man that was hanging on the cross alongside of Christ. His salvation, his regeneration was instant. But our transformation is continuous. You know something? When I think about that, I sometimes look back on my own life. Because I know where I was, more or less, and I know where I am today. And I believe there's been transformation. Is it complete? No. But I believe that if I could get from where I was to where I am today, I can get the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Marie's kind of not so sure about that because, see, I taught her 50-some years ago. Sorry to remind you of that, Marie, all the time. What a change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a change. We are conformed to Christ's image gradually as we spend time in intimate fellowship with Him. End of quotation. This transformation in the sight of God is good and acceptable and is His perfect will for every one of us. Another requirement, and I see the time is going. I have a watch. Another requirement is to serve God through the operation of spiritual gifts. Salvation results in changed behavior. Every experience with God should result in a change in the individual. Every experience. After you have been prayed and prophesied over for the gifts of the Spirit, there should be a change in your outlook, in your level of participation in services, in your daily life. There should be a change. God has gifted you to perform what He wants accomplished, however big or small that might be. And I don't think you know, and nor do I, what is big and what is small. We might have our notions about that, but in the sight of God, I'm not sure. For example, if a prophetic word is spoken over you that you will prophesy, then you should be looking for that to come to fruition in the local service. And those that are a little bit older should make room for them. Similarly, if you were gifted to sing in the Spirit, that should be fulfilled in your ministry to the local church. And so it is with all the gifts. They are given to serve God's purposes inside and outside the church. This is vital because this was the revelation that came some 70 years ago. And we have walked in it. Oh, we may have stumbled a bit, but we have kept it in our vision. that this must continue. It must continue. The gifts are imparted to work the works of Christ in the earth. And that means wherever your foot treads, your world is wherever you are at a particular time. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where is my world? Where is your world? It's wherever I am and wherever you are. Now, I don't know whether I can go any further or not. I know these brethren are saying, Mervyn, don't do it. But I'll take the scolding. Maybe another 5 or 10. All right? The third thing in this scripture, in this chapter, talks about behaving like a Christian. You say, you know, we've been down this road a long, long time. Don't need to talk to me about that. Then let me just talk to myself. Because when I read this, I could see there were some things here for Mervyn. I like a caption like, behave like a Christian. Like you used to say to your son or your daughter, behave like you got some sense in your head. No, direct command. Behave like a Christian. That's what my caption says here. Notice what it says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be sincere, in other words. Let our love be sincere. Abhor what is evil. Run from it. Hate it. That which is evil. And cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. You know, the human part of all of us is me. Me. I have to look after me. Because nobody else will. Oh, Irene will. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. If you didn't have hope in your heart, you'd never get out of bed in the morning. For what? You've always got some hope in your heart. Always some hope in your heart that gets you out of bed in the morning. Patient in tribulation. Oh, we all have tribulation. We all have trials. We all have difficulties. Patience. It's not the end of the world. You say, well, I can see it from there. But patient in what we're going through, in other words. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. There it is, prayer again. Continuing in prayer. Let me say a word about that. We're really so happy when we pray for something and it happens, aren't we? And we should be. Glory to God. Thanking and praising Him. But you know, it doesn't always happen that way, does it? It doesn't always happen that way. God has other plans. They're better plans than ours. Does that mean we should quit praying? I had a grandfather who was kind of a lay preacher of some sort. And he believed in healing. And he prayed for people to be healed. One time he prayed for somebody and they died. He said, "That's it. No more of that. I've had it with that." You know something? That's not good. We continue in prayer. We continue steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Sometimes we can use our resources to help somebody. Given to hospitality. Here's an area that I fall down in. I've never been a very hospitable person. I've never been very outgoing. I say, well, it's because that's the way my mother was. You see, I always got an excuse. I'm not like my dad. If my brother was here, he'd know half of you in just a few minutes. And he's sort of like a Hannigan. He just gets to know everybody quick. But not me. But I can improve on that. Give into hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Oh my. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Tough one, isn't it? Rejoice with those who rejoice. That's pretty good. That's pretty easy. Weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things. Don't be conceited. We've got enough of that in the world without adding to it. But associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Oh, my opinion. Could you ever disagree with me? Don't do that. I just have it right, and you know, you're just a little off the track. Well, these brethren that I'm associated have knocked pretty well that right out of me. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, in other words, as much as it is possible, live peaceably with all men. You know, I believe that that should be a goal of ours. I mean, it is difficult at times. But that should be a goal of ours, to live peaceably with everybody. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I always smile every time I read that. You know what it means? He will be ashamed of himself, is what it means. You're doing good to someone that's your enemy. He'll be ashamed of that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God wants good for every one of us. Every one of us. Let's let him do good for every one of us. I'm sorry, I took a little longer than I should have, perhaps. But I just wanted to get it finished. Oh, yes. Is there something to go on, happen now, or am I into the after-service stuff? Aren't you gone yet, Irene? Well, you better go. because I'm there. I'm going to wait till Irene leaves. Now, if things aren't ready in that kitchen, it's not my fault. I actually thought that the last time that I gave this announcement would be the last time. Not because I thought I was going to die, but that would have been a possibility too. But I just thought somebody else would have grabbed this and taken over. And I would have been the happiest guy in North Battleford, for sure. Anyway, I am here to give you the same old line. We're going to have an after-service snack over there in the dining hall, as usual, available to those who would classify themselves as a bit older. Young people, I don't know, I didn't check with Darren. Is the canteen open at Feast? Is the canteen open? Yes? Okay. Young people, use the canteen. Number three, please help defer the cost by making a monetary contribution in the bowl at the start of the line on either side. We have already looked after getting assemblies to work tomorrow night and Saturday night, so you don't have to dodge me. We've looked after that. But note this, when things are changed in the, I think Darren will make an announcement about this, but for my purposes at least, things have changed in there, as you noted, as you've already noticed. The beverages over on the side, that's where you're going to get your beverages tonight too, whether you like it or not. It's not going to be right there handy for you. You're going to have to move a little bit. It's going to be good for you to move. And so this has reduced the effort that the organizers have to put into this. So now, you see, I'm making another commercial for this. So now you don't have to work as hard as I worked for the last 25 years if you want to take this over. So it'll be set up there. You can just help yourself. The plates will be there. The bowl will be there for the money. And then, but you've got to go over there to get your coffee, your tea, or juice, or whatever it is that is there for you. Paul, are you looking to come here? I'll disappear. Oh, just a minute. At least I didn't go to the bathroom with it still around my neck.
When Byron asked me to look after the dorms again, and he said that whenever he did it, he would ask all the parents to come up to the front here after the meeting, and he would stand here lonely. I'm not going to stand here lonely. I want volunteers. I need one for tonight, two for tonight, for the men's and the ladies' dorm, and there'll be more people coming, so I'm only going to do this twice. There's three nights. Tomorrow I'll ask for the next two nights, but I need two for tonight, parents that have children in the dorms, men's and ladies. So you can quickly put your hands up, because if you don't, you'll be standing here for a long time. I'm not going to wait until after. Parents, Stuart, one. Mr. Amundsen is number two. And how about the ladies? We have one lady put her hand up. Thank you. Oh, two ladies. There we go. Thank you very much. That's it for me.
I'll be making the same announcement again tomorrow, for sure. So bear with me. So those who are attending will notice, if you haven't noticed already, that there has been a major revamping of the meal line in the dining hall. This has taken place for a number of reasons. One of the most important is with respect to compliance with food safety and sanitation guidelines. There will be some new dynamics to get used to after many years of doing it the way we always have. So that'll be our challenge. Our cafeteria-style serving island has been replaced with self-serve tables. We have eliminated trays from the mix. Instead, you will pick up your plate at the front of the line and proceed ahead, collecting the items you want as you go. And at the end of the line, you will pick up your silverware and head to find a place to sit. Beverages such as tea, coffee, water will be located in a separate area, which you can get after you have located your seat. But that's kind of important because we've gotten rid of our trays, and so instead of having you carry, you know, a whole stack of things, just take your plate and silverware, find a spot, and then they don't have to tell you this in a Chinese food restaurant, but here we have to relearn it. Things such as sugar, salt, pepper, napkins will be on the tables. Cream will be available at the beverage station by the coffee. Please don't take time to doctor your coffee at the beverage area so there isn't a line or congestion formed there. Just grab it and go back to your table. A few things to note. Workers will go through the line 15 minutes before the crowd will be let in. We will make allowances for seniors and those with limited ability and families with very small children to queue first. We discourage queue jumpers. This is a tough one, but listen. We discourage queue jumpers, those that take a shortcut through the bathrooms, and those that find a random, distantly related child to claim as an excuse to obtain an advantage. The hallway line, yes, we know it can be noisy and difficult to visit in that line. We are considering ways to address that, but we're not there yet. Please be patient with us. The meals will commence at 7:30 a.m. for breakfast, 12:15 for lunch, and 5:30 p.m. for dinner/supper, depending on what country you come from. Workers should identify themselves 15 minutes prior to the meal time and proceed. So the 12:15 thing is important, and it's because that allows the kitchen to prepare for the workers, and then they'll know at 12:15 that's when the line's coming through. They will know that. And so that means if we get out early, don't feel like you've got to stand in the line and do like I do, stare straight ahead, not make eye contact with anybody because I can't hear what you're saying. We will have volunteer porters at each meal to help with those needing assistance. This can include helping to fill plates as well as carrying plates to your seat and getting a beverage. It could also include carrying your screaming child as you proceed through the line. If you would like assistance from a porter, don't wait for them to ask, although we will encourage their eagerness to help. Also, because it's self-serve, be respectful and mindful of the portions that you take. There will be somebody who's going to be overseeing the line, so if you get your hand slapped, you'll know why. So volunteer positions that will need to be filled at every meal, and this is considerably smaller than it once was, we will need at least 2 to 4 porters for every meal. And we would like those to be at least 13 years old and up. And up can stop at 90 if you wanted to. But it would be nice if those who needed a little extra assistance had somebody right there that they could rely on, and you will go through the line 15 minutes early. So we will need 2 to 3 table wipers, We will need a dishwashing crew. We will need 5 in the dishwasher room. We will need 2 as the plates come out. And pot washing. We need at least 2 for that job. And then other positions that will be needed by the kitchen would be toast crew for breakfast. So you need to get there a little on the early side, and we'll get that toast going. And that's 2 to 3 people. We need people to help us with the beverages, and that is to make sure that the water canteens are full and out. We need to make sure that the coffee's been made, or you don't want to be around anybody if that's not done. And the dessert preparation, those kinds of things will be more coordinated out of the kitchen. There will be an afternoon vegetable cutting crew as needed. You could be a part of the amazing early morning potato crew. That's a 6 a.m. call. And I believe that's every morning. So, and then also people who can help mop the floor and vacuum periodically. Certain supervisory roles will be handpicked, so if you find yourself being asked to take on a supervisory position, you can revel in the fact that 2018 is certainly looking up for you. Not quite all asleep yet. Although we have pared back on the number of volunteers required to help at each meal, we absolutely can't function without your help, or it will put too much strain on the kitchen staff. There is a sign-up sheet just beside the piano in the dining hall. If everyone that is able, please take a spot on that board, and then we won't have to solicit your help at any other point during the weekend. That is a please let it be, Lord. Just go and find a spot. Write your name down. There aren't a ton of spots. Like we've really shrunk back the volunteer help that is necessary. So you'll be lucky if you get a spot. That's what I'll say. I'm using a little Tom Sawyer mentality there. So. Again, these changes have been made with certain guidelines and reasons in mind. But please give us all grace as we learn how to do it this way. Now that we have given you so much additional free time, there is another key area where volunteer help is needed, and that is in the canteen. There is a sign-up sheet at the back of the tabernacle, or see Jessica Olson and find a time that works for you. There will be fewer volleyball tournaments this weekend, so we would appreciate your help. One other final item is that we have put an AED, or an automated external defibrillator, near the registration desk. We hope that it sits there and collects dust. We honestly do, but if it is ever needed, that's where it is. It is a 1-2-3 process. It walks you through. But, of course, we pray for God's merciful protection on all of us as we gather together to worship Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your traveling mercies. Lord, we thank you for the ability to gather together again, Lord. We just pray, Lord, as we revel in each other's company and we bask in the glow of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will touch many lives. Lord, that you will be the ever-present in our midst, Lord. Go with us now as we prepare for our time here together. Lord, we just pray that you will grant each person here a good sleep, and that the buildings will stay warm and everything will be functioning well, Lord. We just pray for you to be first and foremost amongst our meeting. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.